Hola a todos y bienvenido a TFG Radio. Hey guys,
Nobody will
Danny.
even know what that first part is.
That's the whole point.
I'm talking about you pronouncing the letters. I think you said it too slow. I'm used to people saying it like super fast.
Adam, are you talking my fucking end of this sense? Because John's not here, everything is going wrong technically. So, just
Yeah.
enjoy the ride as Adam and I just kind of fuck around.
Yeah, it shows you. It's just a frozen on your smiling face right now.
Well, at least it's me smiling. I don't know.
I was just saying how nobody can understand what you're saying because you're talking too slow.
Oh, fair enough.
I mean, you're not going like Cuban speed, but.
Dude, I couldn't manage that if I tried. I couldn't manage Cuban speed in English, let alone Spanish.
My wife is from Mexico City, and she can't even understand Cubans when they speak real fast sometimes. But
Yeah. Yeah, again, speaking it in pure Spanish is like always awkward for me because the most I speak Spanish is Spanglish, is calo, so it's just,
yeah,
like having to actually stop and think and be like, well, fuck, what's the preposition in Spanish for this is like, doesn't work.
yeah. When I was younger, it used to be just to like either eat or get laid was basically my Spanish. And then when I started working for the utility company I worked for, because I worked in the field in certain areas, I had to learn to speak more Spanish and learned very little Russian, but I didn't retain the Russian part.
Yeah, my Spanish was always mixed in with things. It'd be like here, like "Dame la remote."
Yeah, that's more or less how I grew up. If you live in SoCal, that's usually how it went. Or really
Yeah.
just the Southeast United States or Southwestern United States.
Yeah, it's really if you are of Latin origin, but your parents aren't immigrants or you're yourself non-immigrant, chances are you grew up learning Spanglish as opposed to just Spanish.
Yeah, as K.R. Quinn just pointed out, as a Quintero and a Cuban, what was that, slow-mo? Which it was.
It was.
So you have to
Yeah,
put
see,
it.
unfortunately, the Spanish I speak the most is with my mother-in-law, who's also from DF, right? Like,
Yeah.
so, from Mexico City. So, that's very deliberate, slow kind of delivery.
Yeah, my wife's from DF also, but she left there when she was like 12. So it's not a full immersion for her. For those that notice, it's just Danny and I today. John is off in places unknown due to the heat, somewhat.
I mean, shouldn't he be, what is it, what just passed? Wasn't it, Victory in Japan Day, like not long
Oh,
ago?
VJ Day? That was no August. Oh, that was late. Yeah, it was VJ Day.
Yeah, so he's probably on his way back from from the Pacific Theater, right? Having done his reenactments of
Of the surrender.
the surrender on the Yamamoto and,
My God. I'm sure he's glad he's gone. He's not here today. And Tom isn't with us because he has family issues to take care of. But today we decided to take, we at first weren't going to do an episode today, but Danny wanted to talk about other things. Danny wanted to talk 40K and other stuff, so we'll do that today.
Well, more, I just wanted to kind of piss off John by talking about things that every time we mention, he just pretends doesn't exist.
So this
And
is
now
going to
he's not
be,
here to stop us.
yeah, well, true. So today we're going to talk. We still talk 40K. A few things have happened, and we'll talk about that first. First off, was the last time we spoke was the set was be the Thursday before the previews they had on Saturday, and the previews were kind of, to me anyway, were kind of lackluster, mainly because I mainly play 40K. And what they did show was basically another booklet for match play.
Yeah, which definitely was out of left field. I was not expecting that.
I wasn't either. I think they had another booklet for narrative. Yeah, they had another booklet for narrative, which is great. But and the match play one, I just didn't even expect, and especially because it's focused on terrain.
Right.
And terrain has become a bit of a hot button issue at tournaments lately, especially as we're getting back into tournaments, because it seems people are our tournament organizers are still stuck with the 8th edition set of terrain, where it's enough but not enough for 9th edition. I mean, from what I see, I mean, when I did the shoutcast for Flying Monkey Con, there were comments about the terrain on the top table, and I think it was justified in a way of that's what they had, and I don't know if they can create more terrain within like a week or two of the new edition coming out.
Yeah, I mean, that's, it's just, terrain has been an issue for a while, honestly. I mean, even in 8th edition, yeah. It took so long for TOs to kind of, for everyone to kind of be on the same page of how much terrain you really need, and now 9th just upped that. In a standard, like, Strikeforce game, isn't supposed to be something like 18 distinct pieces of terrain on the table?
Yeah, and even though it doesn't have to be big pieces, that's actually a lot of terrain.
Yeah, it's a bit, and I mean, you know, especially this is something that was, you know, the FAQs to the FAQs to the FAQs, right? Like the fortification ruling that, you know, if you place a fortification, it has to be more than 3 inches away from a piece of terrain, and it's like, you can't physically do that if you're using as much terrain as GW is saying to use. And the game is designed around, so it's like, oh, well, you're repping all of these cool new, you know, fortifications for, you know, each army, right? The Necron and the Space Marine bunker, but you can't actually use them in match play, right? Unless, you know, you cut down on terrain or something like that. So I don't know how that's necessarily going to work.
Yeah, it's especially like a lot of Sisters of Battle players are taking the Battle Sanctum.
You know, yeah, giant, more miracle dice.
Yeah, and that piece is actually pretty big, so it's hard to place it outside of 3 inches of a terrain piece, especially if it's one of those tiny terrain pieces.
Right, that's the thing. I mean, it's not like 18 ruins, but it's 18 pieces of terrain, but there's only so much room on whatever the dimensions are, 45 by 60.
Well, 44 by 60. Yeah, so I don't, and suppose, and, but more importantly, with this terrain book, what they're talking about is actually players bringing their own terrain to a tournament.
And Let's sigh. I mean, I feel like we've covered this multiple times in multiple episodes, but player placed terrain is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. It's a whole game into the game, right? Where people who are used to doing it have just such a huge advantage. You know, people talk about like, you know, the cinematic nature of this game, and you know, it's a visual medium. It's all about creating the narrative via models and terrain and all that stuff. And then if it's player placed terrain, you just end up with huge shooting galleries half the time of like, well, let me make sure that the center is open so I can get my knight in there.
I don't think it was that big of an issue in fifth in 40K. But it was more of an fantasy. issue in fantasy, especially if you play like wood elves or dwarves.
Yes. I'm going to put this forest right here. Yeah. I'm going to put this forest I make over here.
Wood elves. God damn it. Thank you, K.R. Quinn, for subscribing. I think they mentioned special rules if you bring your own terrain, things like that, which is another issue. That seems like more of AOS style because AOS has something similar to that.
Yeah.
Where their terrain has special rules. So.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of crazy, like, terrains. Like, it's haunted. It's empowering. It's all of this stuff.
It's haunted.
Yeah. I mean, and it's cool, but it's a lot of bookkeeping, right? Yeah. Like, it's a lot of unique bookkeeping, too. It's not like, oh, make sure to keep track of victory points and all this. I mean, it's like every table will have unique bookkeeping. So what do you know, I just think as a judge, right, or as an organizer of, like, going to a table and people being like, oh, well, we rolled and this is supposed to be empowered, but he's saying it's blah, blah, blah. It's like, how the fuck am I supposed to know how to resolve that?
I mean, if you're going to do that, you may have to, you almost have to like, well, no, because they have to roll every time. So every game, it's a roll.
You have to have tokens, right? Like you have to have tokens to place on the terrain. Tony, get on it.
I mean, we haven't seen the book yet, so we don't really know, because they're going to also have unique missions, which I'm assuming is going to be like Age of Sigmar, where it's, like you said, where they're going to have unique abilities depending on the race or the codex.
Yeah, I mean, this feels very much like the realm of battles that AOS introduced, where it's like, oh, we're fighting in Aquishi, so all of these abilities matter more. And it's, again, from a perspective of let's just play a game and have fun, that's fine. That's great. It adds spice. And like, you know, when we get to Warcry, that's something I like about Warcry is the, you know, modularity of it and the variability of it. But for competitive tournament play, that's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could help if for local RTT or store that might be light on terrain.
Oh, no, I mean, again, if you can convince players to bring their own terrain, that makes just about anybody capable of running a decent size event, because we've talked about before, the two biggest roadblocks to running a decent size event is location, right? Where are you going to do it, and the upfront costs if you have to rent a space, and terrain, right? Actually having the materials to have 20, 30 games going, right? So if you can solve one of those problems, it's a lot easier for just about anybody to like get not just like an RTT going, but actually get like a small or even medium sized GT going.
Right. Yeah. There was 1 year at the LA GT in 2004, 2005 maybe, but they actually had us, build objectives objectives had to be destroyed vehicles.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I cut up a Lehman Russ for that.
Yeah, a lot of people were upset because they had to cut up, like, why am I going to cut up this perfectly good model to create for something I'm only going to use, like, for one weekend? And what I ended up doing was I ended up finding the old Rogue Trader jet bikes, Space Marine jet bikes.
Oh, yeah.
Those are my, quote-unquote, vehicles that crashed into walls or logs or whatever.
Technically correct.
It's the best guy. So, but don't, I mean, you know, I can see people doing something like that for a local RTT, or, and like you said, or a small GT.
Yeah,
we haven't seen the book yet. So once the book comes out, we'll be able to really judge what it's worth, I guess. But
yeah, it just seems like, I don't know, it seems like a solution looking for a problem, you know?
Yeah, I don't think anybody asked for it. I mean, off the top of my head, I'm not going to go out and rush to buy it. That's for sure.
No.
Yeah, if someone wants to maybe try, say, wants to, like, run one, like, nowadays a lot of stores run RTTs to prepare for local GTs, so it's always the same set of missions. Well, luckily there's more variety now. When in the past, when we didn't have as many, we would have that month or two where we could do something wacky. I remember, the Christmas one. Like, Travis used to do the Christmas one. And sometimes in between, like, BAO and LVO, or whatever big GT, we would do just like, hey, let's play book missions, or let's try these missions. Let's try.
Let's do Highlander. Let's do third and fourth edition missions. No, those are good times. Yeah. I mean, those are fine.
But now the schedule's so packed that it's hard to do that. Everyone's preparing all the time, so it's really hard for a store anyway, in order to get people to come to the store to play, to do something like that, unless a majority of the players want to do that, which you can do by just asking them as one RTT, and you say, hey, next month, do you guys want to do this, or do you guys want to do this? And hopefully that will allow you to get more flexibility in what you want to do.
Yeah, social media makes that super easy, too. But, I mean, even this is something I think is something to be explored, depending. And, again, all this depends on – this is very local dependent, right? Like, so I'm thinking about whenever we get out of COVID lockdown, you know, our place, which is going to have two stores, right? Do you have, you know, does one store do two tournaments? Do you do kind of like your competitive, like ITC, this is like a prep for a GT? And then you have like the more, okay, we're going to do the bring your own terrain and like the kind of more wackier missions, the realm of battle missions, whatever we're going to end up calling them, right? Do you have that RTT that's definitely much more of a, you know, this is about just playing and having fun. And if you win, great. If not, like, you know, you still got to roll dice and hang out with people. And if you have a community big enough, maybe you can do it that way. But again, not every community is big enough to sustain that.
Yeah, before the original store closed, we basically had two communities, one that came in on Tuesday nights, which is more the competitive. And then we had a couple group of casuals that there was one on, I know there was one on Monday night. And then
yeah, there's one on Monday.
Another
for sure.
Group that kind of just played whenever. I mean, they played a lot of other game systems too, because I see these same people playing like Bolt Action.
Right.
But they would play Kill Team, they would play Warcry, they would play all these other like smaller games, but they would play 40K once in a while, but more on a casual as opposed to a competitive sense.
Yeah, so I mean, if you've got a community that's big enough, right, if you know you've got, you know, 10, 15 really casual guys, and you've got like, you know, a core 10, 15 really competitive guys, maybe you can split the difference and have just two events a month, but you know, again, we're kind of biased because we're in SoCal. We have so many goddamn players that we can do shit like that. But,
yeah.
You know, there's plenty of places that I don't think can.
Yeah. And because we mainly do competitive, we don't really see a lot of the casuals sometimes because they don't usually come around when we're around.
They don't like us.
Yeah. That's a nice way of putting it. Yeah. They tend to shy away from us.
I mean, so. You know, can you blame them? I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. K.R. Quinn is saying that GW should just put out the Forge World books, you know, instead of something like this.
Please, God. Everyone wants that, and it's just waiting.
Yeah, there's a few things I'm waiting on to see, because there's units that aren't currently in the points manual, like Renegades and Heretics, but I'm hoping will be in the Forge World book. So they're
back. A new army list.
With a new army list, basically. But, fingers crossed, right?
I mean, I don't know. It feels like one of those things of, again, if I think back like 6-7 years ago, who would have fucking thought Harlequins would be in this game as a standalone faction? Custodes, GSC, right? Like, you know, I think especially when you see, what is it, Blackstone Fortress that has all the Renegade models, they clearly have CADs. They clearly have molds. Right. So it's really just a question of when do they decide, like, okay, we have enough to kind of piece together an army here, you know, maybe do an upgrade kit for the Cadians so you can like make them chaosified.
Yeah. I remember back in third or fourth, when they had the Eye of Terror campaign, they put out a bag of basically it was Cadian bits, Orc bits, and zombie bits from Fantasy to create the Lost and the Damned.
Weren't there Beastmen bits in there too?
Maybe, probably. It was like a bag of bits, basically.
Yeah. Which, hey, you know, I wish they would do shit like that again. Like, that's just, that was cool, where you could just get like a giant bag of like, here's a bunch of random ass pieces.
Yeah.
Make what you want, right? Like, that was cool.
Yeah, so so we'll see what happens with that book. I'm hoping the Forge World books come out too, but they haven't really said anything about that. As far as I can tell, salamanders are still ruling the roost.
Yeah, I mean, I right now I'm putting them in the category of early 8th Gilliman gutline of just like very obviously good, but I don't think people have really figured out like the really actually incredibly strong lists that just, you know, require very specific things to take apart.
Well, you know?
But maybe I'm wrong, and maybe salamanders just stay top tier for a while.
Well, with the new book coming out next month, we'll see. I mean, there could be a new point values that make them, they have to make Space Marine players choose what they want to use. Although Eradicators are still good.
Yeah, I was going to say Eradicators are still good, and I doubt they're going to do too much alteration to them because they're like the newest thing they put out, right? So they usually tweak that. Yeah, I mean, it really depends, like, what stratagems do they keep, you know, do they keep their plus one to wound, you know, with a assault, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Salamanders, it's a good list because it does everything for the most part it needs to, right? It shoots you really hard. It has a high volume of fire if it needs to, so if you're trying to do like the off meta horde list, it'll go through them. You know, it'll obviously kill anything big. And it has decent board control because once those fuckers get on objectives, they're not easy to get off.
No, they're T5 with 3 wounds.
Yeah, and a 3+ save. And, you know, with cover being the way it is, they can easily get 2+ save, -1 to hit. You know, you can always transhuman them if you really need to, right, for that extra, like, annoyance. So, yeah, I mean, Salamanders, as I think any Space Marine army is good. Salamanders are probably just the best because they make use of the outflank rule the best, right? Right now, at least.
Yeah, I think that's also someone I think I saw or read or heard somebody talk about how part of it could also be people aren't used to doing that just yet, especially those that haven't played in like 5th edition.
Right. No, I mean, that's...
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the thing. Like, when I'm, you know, when I'm building lists, like even before the Salamander list became like the known hotness, I was thinking like, well, what happens if somebody outflanks, right? Like what how do I, you know, deal with that? So I'd always build with like, okay, you need to be able to screen out the edges, right? Like yeah. to keep them from landing where you need, you know, where they want to land, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think people build for that right now or really think about it.
Not right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet in a year it's going to be different because, you know, it's just going to be kind of the way it is, right?
Well, as we as things become closer to normal, because I don't think anything will go back to normal, at least for 40K, as things get back to normal more or less, I think people – and more games are played, I think more people will get used to it and people will adapt quicker. And then something new will come out or a new codex will come out that will change all that. And the other thing we had this past week, if you were paying attention, was that one of our local players, Ray from the VGR podcast, put together a small RTT at his house with a few big name players, including I guess Ray is big in stature but not in actual size. Richard Cozart, Carlos Kaiser, Jeff Pohl, who most people know. And Alan Hernandez, Arthur Two. These, if you're from SoCal, you know a lot of these names. On the national level, you may know some, but not all. There's a guy named Brandon Grant.
Some nobody.
Yeah, I know, right? And Junior, amongst others. And there's about half the people there were from our local club. So.
Yep.
The funny thing about that was there was no Space Marines. Oh, there was two Blood Angel armies. That's what it was. Out of 12 players, two of them are Blood Angels, so not even like Salamanders. Yeah. And then a Farsight Enclave, Chaos, Custodes, Orcs. Richard won with his Chaos Space Marines that had two units of 10 Emperor's Children. Forget what they're called.
Noise Marines.
Oh my God, Noise Marines in I think they were in the Termites. Which is basically like a drop pod. It's a drop pod with melta guns because it can take melta guns. I think it's T8 also. It's actually pretty good.
Yep, I need to get some.
And Carlos had the giant airplane again for the custodes.
Ares.
You can go to Dicehammer_LA on Twitch to watch those games. They have the games are on there. They did play four games in one day, which can be tiring. I have done that before back when I was younger, and I was tired then. I'd probably be even more tired now.
Yep.
So you can see some of that fatigue in the fourth game between in the finals between Richard and Carlos.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting – I mean, it's very SoCal meta with how heavy Chaos was represented, yeah. Right? You know, but I think – I mean, that's really just like, that's one of those like RTTs that if, you know, you just wandered into, you'd probably just be like, what the fuck is wrong as you just get annihilated? Cause there's a lot of heat, in that, you know, that's some of the probably best players in the West Coast, not all obviously, but a good chunk. So, you know, it's interesting also, but again, this is part of the problem we're all running into in 40K is that because of COVID and things like that, there's not a lot of big national events. Mm-hmm. We're not really getting to see a big picture of the real kind of worldwide meta because we're all in silos, right? So like here in SoCal, you have to build to be, you know, for Chaos because so many fucking people play Chaos, mm-hmm. right? And Eldar, but you know, no Salamanders.
No.
Right?
No Salamanders. And Ray, who's like the top Eldar player for the last few years, he actually took Harlequins instead of his normal just Eldari.
Yeah, which tells you something. I mean, it's crazy. It's again, this is one of those things of it's just weird having 40K. I mean, especially I think we got very spoiled by 8th. And like the heyday of 8th where we're having like major events pretty much every weekend, right across the world. And then just to suddenly stop, right? So it's just really hard to make any, you know what it feels like? It kind of feels like 3rd and 4th edition again, where it's just like, oh, this game store I go to, it is a self-contained microcosm of the game. If you travel If you go to the next town over, you can play a different game.
That is an accurate description. Yeah, I can see that because like the GT at Flying Monkey Con is kind of still self-contained because it's only drawing people from roughly that area.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they got people from Texas, but it's still more or less the middle of the U.S. as opposed to like Nova, which was supposed to happen this weekend, was getting people from all over the world.
Right.
Or BAO, which was supposed to happen earlier this year, would at least pull from the entire United States as opposed to just Northern California like it used to.
Right. You know, we'll see about SoCal.
SoCal's kind of still up in the air. They did lift some of the restrictions or eased some of them. So we'll have to see.
Even if that's just the problem though. Like right now, it's hard to tell. Like even if the doors are open, who's going to travel to go to it? Right.
Yeah, I've seen a few people say they're not going to travel, but that's only because of the travel aspect of it, not because of the location itself. Because
right.
If you've ever been to SoCal, it's in those giant barns that you usually have.
Yeah, they're old hangars, right?
Well, they're where you have the
county fairs.
The county fairs. It's at the Del Mar Fairground. So imagine having
the animal stalls.
Yeah, basically. Well, it's more like if you go to the LA one, you know how they have those giant rooms, air conditioned rooms with nothing but TV, made for TV stuff in there that you can only find on TV.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that big. So there's enough space to social distance from everybody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, SoCal's great just because you could actually walk around and not just run into people and like have to like move sideways to get out of rows, right? Like it's just lots of room. So they could easily do it.
You can fit at least one, maybe one and a half tables between each table in each direction. And if they wanted more, you can do more. There's literally almost no limit at this point as how many people he can put in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just whether people want to get on an airplane. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's still going on, I'll probably end up going.
I don't think it's not even COVID that's stopping me. It's just toddler and newborn.
Yeah, you have two little ones. Like Tom just had a little one, a second little one. John has two older ones, but they still need care. Mine is, my problem is my wife wants to see her all the time. My daughter and I are okay not seeing each other ever, except once in a while. So it's my wife, and my wife is the one that wants to see her, and she's just like, no. So
one day I'll get to that stage.
It's really nice, just FYI.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's still up in the air. Locally, we were hoping to do Hammer of Wrath in September, at the end of this month, but we're going to have to cancel. I haven't put the official word out, but I'm going to cancel it because there's no way. Even if they lift the restrictions tomorrow, I don't have enough time to get everything together.
Right.
The store we were going to have it at isn't ready yet, and probably won't be ready in time. I don't know if they would. It would be close if they were to do it. I'd have to talk to them. I'll actually talk to them tomorrow, Friday, about it. And that would have been at Gameology, which is one of our sponsors, if you're watching the Twitch stream.
I haven't gotten shit. What is a sponsorship? I haven't gotten nothing.
They helped get us the stuff to give out for the drawing we just did for the Patreon members.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
For the Facebook Patreon members. So.
I guess.
And there's other stuff in the works that we can discuss after. I don't want to announce now because it's not a done deal yet, so I don't want to premature announce stuff that we'll be doing, but I can tell you after. I think we talked about it a little bit. So that was the tournament. Like Danny just said, if you've never played 3rd or 4th edition, it's kind of like that, where you're in your own little bubble right now. Nothing's really connected except through BCP. But even that doesn't give a national picture or a worldwide picture because there's not enough events going on. There are places like Goonhammer that are trying to get some information with the limited data that we're getting, which is good with what we have. It's at least something, and it's something for people to kind of chew on while we're waiting to things kind of get going again. So it's stuff to talk about. Like the first turn thing, which was an issue with 8th edition, so nothing's really changed.
I was going to say, the beginning of 8th was –
Well, even towards the end of 8th, it was still a first turn issue, which is why they Games Workshop came out with the prepared defenses strat that they got rid of with the new edition.
Yeah, no, I mean, in ITC, in 8th, going second was generally stronger, right? But just book missions going first was better for the most part.
Right, right. So. But, I mean, we're back to where we were, almost square one, because when they redid the FAQs, they got rid of a lot of the FAQs that everyone, I guess, took for granted, and we don't know if it's intentional or not.
Right,
if
right,
we forgot.
Right.
Like today, Dom was asking me about, well, it says only you can only get one CP back per turn, but Harlequins have this thing where if you roll a die equal to the number of CP you're spending, you get all of them back. In 8th edition, GW is like, yeah, you get all of them back. Now that's not there anymore. So currently, even if you spend 5 CP, you roll a 5, you're only going to get one back. Is that what they intended? I don't know. So there's a lot of questions about that, about why did they cut out certain things and if it was intentional or by mistake, which they've done in the past. Like the Auspex scan.
Right.
Which was an issue during MonkeyCon. And so was it intent? Did they do it by mistake or did they say, you know, they can shoot at them. Why not? You know, well, I'm fine either way as long as I know what their intent is. Kara Quinn is mentioning that Reese was saying that because the limit in San Diego is 100 people per building, they could probably do that with multiple buildings because it would be two buildings with 100 people in each one, more or less.
Workable.
So for SoCal Open. So we'll see. We'll see how many people they actually get. But, so like I said, well, everyone's in their own little bubble right now. We don't really have a worldwide consensus in terms of what the meta's kind of like. Not like we did before but at least with the one thing we do have at least is everyone's using the same missions. So you're no longer saying, okay, this guy won with, Space Wolves, pure Space Wolves, but he's playing in Australia and they have these weird missions and, you know, whatever. Or this one tournament, this guy won with only Inquisition, but, you know, they didn't even play, ITC missions. They played some wacky, you know, homebrew missions. So did he really, you know, win? Well, now we have all these missions are the same, so everyone should be playing the same mission. So we can easily, much more, it's easier for us to figure out what's actually good or not.
Right. I mean, I think that's a key thing is everyone playing the same goddamn missions is so important for actually being able to accurately say, like, okay, this is clearly too good, right? It just wins, right? Or, okay, this isn't strong enough. It doesn't do anything, you know, et cetera. Yeah. So we'll see. Who knows how long it's going to take before we actually really get a good picture, right, of the meta, but we'll see.
The meta.
Right now, just get games.
Just
right,
the games just, in, yes. Yes,
yeah, just play games.
all right, so a little bit of a warning. We're only about a half hour in.
So, like 45.
Well, 45, but we were talking like 10 minutes before we officially started. But we're going to talk about non-40K stuff. So
run now.
I'm not going to take it personally if you guys just leave. All four of you, although one of them is me. So, and one of the reasons why
Danny, hey, we're big in Sweden.
One of the reasons why Danny wanted to come on and just come on, even though it's only half of us today, was to discuss stuff we don't normally discuss because why not? It's one of those. It's almost like I wanted to say it's almost like an AMA, which you, but I don't know if I can answer like anything.
We can try, I guess. So I don't know if we have enough people for an AMA.
No, we never. No, please. But I mean, if you guys want to ask us about anything, you can. We'll try to answer them to the best of our abilities. I usually try to shy away from rules Lancers because it's not LVO, and I don't like being quoted.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put it out. I have not done the study I do for LVO yet.
Right.
So I am not like super confident being able to be like, and here's the definitive answer, right? Like, So tell me about Conquest, Adam. You and Tommy are getting so fucking hard for this game.
One of the new stores, Gameology, and there's two now. There's one in Upland and the new one in Pasadena, which is the one we go to. We're going to start going to. And no, Valerie, no John tonight, just me and Danny. And talking about, you missed our 40K section. They started talking about this game called Conquest. I'm like, all right, and it was kickstarted at first. And I'm like, all right, whatever, another game. It's probably going to die. But it's been popping up around a lot lately, and I've been seeing it a lot lately. And one of the and usually I won't play a game if I know nobody else plays it. If there's one person I know that plays it, I'll usually play it, or at least try to play it. I knew everybody was playing War Machine. War Machine came out. I tried it like four times, and each time I just didn't stick with me for whatever reason. One of them was actually because of the models when I tried to put together the Scorn models.
Oh, my God,
when they first came out. And the gaps, and it was horrible. I just gave up and threw the models in the trash. And
it was also metal, so it wasn't you can use some plastic glue. Like you can really get it in there. It's like no, these are fucking pewter models that
you had to you'd have to almost green stuff a whole new model in order to fix it.
Yeah, no, it was not so good. It was not so good.
So I used to play Fantasy Battle back when it was out. For some reason, Age of Sigmar is just not sticking with me.
You know, I just haven't gotten a chance to play enough Age of Sigmar to, like, really be like, this game isn't just for me, or whatever. I played Fantasy more than I played any other game system between, like, 2007 to, like, pretty much when it died, right? Like an AOS came out. Flank and rank shit is up my alley. It's just because it's different. Like 40K and AOS are so much the same game, as an engine. One's shooty, one's melee based, but like at the end of the day, like it's the same engine running, but like flank and rank, the fantasy engine, it was still distinctly different than the 40K engine.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why it's just not sticking to me. It's like I can just play 40K instead.
Right, I love AOS models.
Yeah, the models are fantastic, and every time they come out with a new release, I'm like, oh, maybe I should just give it a try. But I can't, I just can't do it, man. I don't know what it is. I mean, I know what it is. I think it's because it's not rank and flank, and Conquest is more where Age of Sigmar is what more of a high fantasy, you would say.
Yeah, it's a very Morcockian high fantasy, like ultra high fantasy.
Yeah, and Conquest is very much low or dark, I guess dark fantasy or low fantasy.
Yeah, seems. Yeah, I mean dark. I mean it's not really it's dark. It's more low fantasy. There's not like, I mean at least from what I've read, there's not like you're not dealing with the gods. You're not talking about extra dimensional planes and the multitude of realities. It's like here's some bros in this fallen kingdom who are fucking each other up, which I'm fine with that.
Yeah, they. Victor, you just missed the 40K section of the podcast. If there's anything you want to ask, you can ask us. We're more than happy to answer. But with Conquest, there is something in regards to like the gods, where the gods are real. And it's almost like a low fantasy. There's magic, but magic isn't that big of a deal in the game. It's rank and flank. It's very reminiscent of a fantasy in that regard. But the one thing that stuck out to me when I watched the intro play was the fact that low numbers matter as opposed to high numbers in 40K or Age of Sigmar or a lot of the games actually.
Like, want to be rolling ones, baby?
Yeah, so you need to roll ones and twos in your game as opposed to fives and sixes. So that really messes with your head in the beginning.
Finally, a game built for me.
I know, right? The Conquest game is made by a company called Parabellum, which I believe is in, I want to say Greece, but it's para-bellum.com. That's the website. They only have four factions right now. It's basically dwarves, humans, which are called Hundred Kingdoms, which is, and even within those, and within each faction, there's at least two or three different sub-factions. Something called the Spire, which is almost a mix of like elves and like flesh golems type of things. And then the fourth one is another human race called Nords, which is basically Norsemen. They even use the same mythology as the Norse. So there's not much, or as the Vikings, so there's not much difference.
Everybody loves Vikings.
There's not much, actually, I have 100 Kingdoms because that comes with the starter. It's not that expensive to get started. It's $100 for the starter set. And you get two, I think, 500-point armies, essentially. And if you play Spire, you get one, their giant model in the bundle. So it's not too bad. It's alternating activations. You flip cards. It's almost like Armada, I think, in that regard. And you get your deck of model of units that are on the table. You put what order you want to activate them, and you put them face down, and each of you takes turn activating a unit and performing their action.
Yeah, I mean, it seems cool. I kind of like that. I like that not everything starts on the board. I thought that was a cool feature when I was reading through the rule book that, like, so there's light, medium, and heavy, essentially, mm-hmm. units, and light units come on the board really quickly, right? They're obviously going to be what most of your army, you know, pretty much everything your entire army is in the first turn. Then, you know, what is it? Turn two, medium units can come in, but only on a 5+, right? And
yeah, they have to roll for them to come on. And by the third turn, they come on automatically. Between first it's light, then it's medium, then it's heavy. You can come on off the sides, but an equivalent unit size, light, medium, or heavy, has to be. You can only go as far up as that equivalent unit size or smaller. However far up the back of that unit is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like soccer with
offside.
Offsides, yeah.
That's a perfect for anybody that plays soccer or football. It's basically like an offside rule, and it's not offsides because there's only one team. Just a pet peeve of mine. And a side is a team. If you don't know, if you're American, so it's I like it. It sounds pretty cool. It's the humans, what they're called, the Hundred Kingdoms. They're more or less Renaissance era soldiers.
European city-states.
More or less, they're going to have a city-state army that's more like Greek city-states. And then they're going to have what basically orcs, but they call them a different name. And they're basically, it's almost like lizard men where they're riding dinosaurs and stuff, except they're orcs. Riding dinosaurs.
Just use I prefer lizards riding dinosaurs, but use my lizard men.
They're both green.
Most of my lizard men is still on square bases anyway, so it works out.
Yeah, they actually do round bases in square formations, I guess. Kind of like Lord of the Rings.
Right, yeah.
And they said the reason they do that is so that you can turn the model whichever way so it can fit correctly.
No, that makes sense.
So
right.
Anyone that's played fantasy remembers having to rank up your models a certain way, because when you built the models, you forget that you have to do that, and then it's hard to rank up.
Yeah, when you suddenly make more than you make too many guys who are going, with their spear, and you're like, fuck. They have to go in the back and face the other direction, otherwise I can't fit them inside.
Yes. I mean, the game looks pretty cool. It looks like it's fairly quick to play, especially as the turns go by, if you don't have a lot of units and if you have bad dice rolls for your reinforcements. But
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's actually interesting where 40K, for the most part, has always been, and even Fantasy was like this too, of the first three turns take 70% of the game, right? Like, and this one, it seems like it's actually relatively evenly distributed because, you know, your first few turns are pretty quick, so you don't have everything on the table. And then by the time the big stuff starts coming on the table, things have already died. So you're kind of having an even distribution of the amount of units on the table at a time and effort and energy. So I think that's cool because I don't know. It's, for me, I always hated when I have a turn one or two that takes an hour and a half, right? Just to get through that. So I'm just like, God damn, we haven't really played the game yet.
So, Karakun wants to know if the models are good. For what they are, for a first run by a new company, I think they're not GW good. There's a lot of mold lines on them, some more than others, depending on the batch I looked at. And I like playing Chaos because I can just claim mold lines as a Chaos mutation. But having to clean mold lines, everybody just hates. But I think they're actually pretty good for what they are. They're on par probably with most historical models, if you're familiar with those, like Vitrix or one of the other plastic ones. Maybe not as good as Warlord. Maybe not as good as Warlord Games, but they're still pretty good.
I was gonna say between like utter crap and like
not utter crap. They're
GW and like, you know, Weird. Weird has some pretty good plastics.
They're not Weird or GW. Weird is just, I think, would put a step below GW.
Yeah.
The only issue is Weird is with Weird, and that game system Malifaux is just the way they cut the different pieces.
Yeah, and that, again, this is something we always mention. I gotta actually find it because Travis was the one who showed it to me.
The Asian dude that has the little chin piece that goes under the beard.
No, not that. It was an article in like some weird, really niche manufacturing, like trade manufacturing magazine, mm-hmm. that was about Games Workshop and basically about their CAD algorithms that let them create sprues so effectively, where you don't get so many, like, you know, we had to awkwardly cut this piece to put it, you know, because that's the only way we could fit it on the thing. And it's just hilarious because it's, you know, this very dry, very, very, very specific trade magazine talking about GW.
That's funny. I mean, and the character models are in resin, but not the fail cast resin, actual good resin, but not Forge World resin, because they're still affordable. It's more like resin you see, I guess, more like Privateer Press resin.
Okay, not bad.
It's not bad, but I would still prefer plastic, but I can see them not spending the money to do plastic for one model.
Yeah, for characters, especially for a new company, that's such an expensive out, initial costs.
Yeah, and the characters that I got were like easy, really, they were easy to put together. There was not a lot of flash, there was not a lot of trimming. I didn't have to do a lot. I didn't see very many. I didn't see any mold lines on the resin guys for the characters, and they were just easy to put together.
That's always good.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like. I don't know. Use GW models.
You can. If you can find the GW, like, Empire models, you could probably use those. Because there's not too many units. The range for 100 Kingdoms is not fully fleshed out yet, or not released yet. So there's a lot of units I want to use, but I can't right now because they're not out yet. But if I had an old Empire army, or even Bretonian army with, like, mounted squires or something, I could easily use those. I could easily use those instead for now. So yeah, I would at least check out the models and see what you think. I think they're fine, especially coming from a historical background like I do, and knowing what the historical models look like, which we'll talk about in a bit. Just give it a look. If there's a store near you that has them, check them out. If they have them out, you can go to their website and look and see what the models look like painted. Theirs painted with a more realistic colors as opposed to GW's bright colors. But I'm just going to use contrast. I'll probably use the lead belcher on the metal and then contrast everything else so I can get it done quickly. That's conquest. I mean, I'm building my army now, but I'm going to build a different army that we'll talk about in a little bit before I paint the conquest army. In case I get to go to SoCal Open.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I think someone else asked. Victor Von Champ is asking if we think the AdMech dog units, are they both dogs? The two AdMech dog units, are they both dogs, or are one of them supposed to be horses?
I don't fucking know, man.
I think one of them is supposed to be horses. I'm pretty sure. But it's all biomechanical AdMech bullshit, so.
I mean, if you look at some of the other AdMechs, I'm surprised it's just not, like, some dude. He's just riding some dude who's been servitored to hell, right? Like,
maybe. I don't know. I don't want to know, actually. After seeing the Iron Strider. I'd rather not know.
See? See? There you go.
It's a dude riding another dude riding another dude. It's more or less what it is. Blood Bowl's coming out with a version 2.0. And that's already causing controversy. One of the things I was told was that they're adding a passing value for everybody. So now you have agility, strength, armor value, and now you're going to have a passing value, which I find odd because you used to just use your agility.
Right. So you can be incredibly agile, but you can't throw a ball.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. This is someone who, you know, like sports, like actual sports. That makes sense to me because, you know, right. There's an old saying, like, you know, what is it? Safeties, or, you know, safeties would be wide receivers if they knew how to catch.
Oh, right.
So, right. You know, I kind of get it. Like, you know, but then again, like I'm not hardcore into Blood Bowl. So, and that seems like a big change, adding a whole new stat.
Yeah, it kind of is. Well, considering that part hasn't changed for 30 years, or 20, almost 30 years now. I mean, to me, I'm almost on the verge of coming back to that with the Snotling team.
I have my Lizardman team. I haven't built them yet, but I have them.
Yeah, I'm tempted to run a Snotling team just because. But the issue for me when we start playing again is there are certain players in our community that basically drove a lot of the Blood Bowl players away, myself included. And if those people are going to be involved, I don't want to go back. And I said as such to the owner.
Well, that's good. I mean, just part of it is, you know, I mean, this is always the problem with any game system, but especially smaller game systems that don't have a huge pool of people, mm-hmm. is just, you know, one or two bad actors can really poison a community very quickly. Right. And that's, you know, and it's just, it's tiring to have to try and diffuse that. Right. Like, I mean, cause you could be like, let me go to the players I don't like. Let me talk to them. Let me try and reach them. Let me see if we can figure out an understanding of how we can, you know, mutually coexist for the health of the, you know, the game system in our local store. But that's just, I mean, that shouldn't be your fucking job.
No, and the way it went down in the end was, my God, it was, I think the phrase, fuck you and the horse you rode in on was uttered at one point, or a phrase to that effect.
So productive meeting.
Yes. So we'll see. I'm pretty sure those people aren't going to be involved, so in that case I may just start playing again. I mean, the game, it's one of the best GW games that they've had. That and maybe Battlefleet Gothic, but the reason it's such a good game is that every decision that you make in that game is important, and almost every decision is, you know, decided by the roll of a die.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing about the game is it doesn't matter like. Every decision you make has some bearing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how well you make decisions because the dice rule that game. Like, it's just, yeah. It's just what it is. And you know what? Like, that's fine. Like, and it fits honestly with the way the game, like when people talk about like, oh my God, GW has lost its grimdark and blah, blah, blah. Like, look at Blood Bowl and remember that was the mentality. That was the theme. That was the atmosphere of every GW product. For a long time. Mm-hmm. Blood Bowl's the last bastion of that, of just like, you know what? This shit is silly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they're actually coming out with Blood Bowl 3 on PC.
Or hey, Xbox, there you go.
And all that other stuff. I think both of those are tied together. Marketing at its finest, I guess.
Synergy.
Yeah.
Cross-platform synergy.
Yeah. So I actually look forward to it. I'll probably buy the starter, even though I don't need another human and orc team. Because that always comes in the starter box. So hopefully they'll sell the wolves separate, and then I can just get that.
And maybe yeah, start I'll get playing a book.
Start playing a few games. with my Snotling team. I still have my dwarves and my orcs and my, I think, a Skaven team. I have all the, like, the original Blood Bowl teams, not the latest ones that came out with the initial run. But I can easily, you know, it's only 60 models. It's not that hard to get into.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like Blood Bowl is one of the easiest games, like GW games, to actually just like drop in and like play. In the sense of like, you don't need them that many models. You know, the hobbying aspect's real easy, you know.
Yeah, and one of the things I like about it is when they use the timer, because it really forces you to make decisions fairly quickly, and that actually can help you in other games like 40K or Age of Sigmar or really any other game that you play. Because while your opponent is playing their half or their turn, you're already planning what you're going to do, because you only have like 2 or 3 minutes to do all the turns and all the dice rolling and everything that you need to do, you hope can do in that amount of time. So I usually prefer playing with a timer. A lot of people don't, but what ends up happening is you end up having like a 3-hour, 4-hour game, which is supposed to be a 2-hour game at most.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No. Not nowadays.
Well, now we all have time.
True, but not in person. Other things that are going on, just as a heads up for myself anyway. For those that don't know, as much as we make fun of John as his reenactment, I'm actually the one that plays all the historical games.
Like, so many historicals.
Like right now, I'm planning, and I have a game called Sharp Practice, which is a Napoleonic more or less skirmish style game or small actions game. So I'm building a Prussian army force for that, because they're going to play that at the local store. Thinking about Saga, which is a skirmish Dark Ages game originally, which is really good in that they have a mechanic and where you use what's called a battle board, which allows you to do certain actions and things like that.
I like Saga. Was a fun game.
Original Saga was great. Saga right now has gotten kind of out of hand, in my opinion, because now they have a supplement that uses magic, which you don't have to use if you don't want to. Their recent supplement is now Roman and Carthage.
That's cool. I'd play the hell out of Carthage.
Well, we can play then, because that's coming out. That's their next supplement. It's Roman. It's Roman legions and Carthage. Carthaginians.
Elephants.
I don't know, man. That's almost like having a knight and kill team, I think. It's like, hey, here's my kill team of guys. All right, here's my knight. Let's go. So,
you mean playing
it? We can look into it. I have the rule book, obviously, because I always do. I can get the supplement and see what the options are. There is a picture of a giant elephant on the book, so they better have an elephant in there.
False advertising.
I know, right? While the side chat is talking about soccer or football and rugby.
Rugby is a hell of a game.
It's funny because the rugby are the guys that didn't want to play soccer when it was created.
I mean, if you look at the difference between rugby and soccer players, it's very clear why.
So I have that. I do have a Adeptus Titanicus army, but I need to start using my 3D printer again. Because I want to utilize the epic 40K stuff, like the tanks and the guys and things like that. So,
I do like epic. The Adeptus Titanicus was fun. It was very much epic. But like the part of fun of epic was like you have the war, you have the Titans, but then you've just got like, you know, the little vehicles running around and all that. That was what made it really cool.
Yeah, I think the scale of the Titans compared, the current Titans with the older epic stuff actually is more in scale. Because Warlord Titan's like twice the size of the original Warlord Titan from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and that brings the vehicles and especially the models, the Space Marines, to scale more. So I know I think I'm going to build an Iron Warriors Legion as opposed to Sons of Horus. And then my brother wants to do Raven Guard, and I think Tom is going to do Ultramarine. So, but I just need to 3D print the models, the specialist units for those armies, and some of the vehicles, because there's a Facebook group that deals with that, and they've made rules for every vehicle that Forge World has put out. So I just need to make a tiny version of it to use in Epic if Tom or John, my brother John, or if I want to use it.
Seems cool.
So once the weather gets a little bit cooler, because I 3D print in my garage, and I'm waiting on my other 3D printer that's like twice the size of the one I have right now. Once that gets going, then it's really going to get going. And we'll see. So hopefully when it gets cooler, I'll be able to use that.
So not this weekend when it's supposed to be like 113?
It's supposed to be, for those that don't know, it's supposed to be 113 degrees this weekend. Oh my God, I'm staying inside the whole time. Where I live, the HOA is not allowing us to use the swimming pool.
Yeah, same here. My swimming pool's closed. So
I may have to run out and buy a kiddie pool so I can just sit in it this weekend.
Inside, though, that's the key point. Inside.
I know, right? Oh my God, with the air conditioner on. I have a lot going on. I think this is one problem of the pandemic, because I'm not able to go to the game store. I have an army for Flames of War, which is a Russian army, and they do have a new book coming out, or just came out. I have that. I don't have a Team Yankee army, but I can get one. It's not that easy. The issue with historicals compared to GW is you can easily get into the game with only like $100.
Right.
It's not that hard. 100, maybe 150 at most, and you have more or less an army that you can play. Maybe not the best army, but if you're just fucking around, it's an army to play. It's not that bad. So there's a lot going on. The main issue, so what I'm mainly doing, and what I haven't talked about yet, so Conquest right now is what I'm building. Once I'm done building all that stuff, I actually have the pieces for a Death Corps of Krieg army.
Ooh.
Don't ask how I got them or how long it took me to get them. I just have them. So, and I think that's going to be the main army that I'm going to build. Now we're back on 40K, guys. You can stop talking about football and soccer. We're back on 40K.
So are you going to actually run at this Death Corps?
Yes. I have the Death Riders. I have the Corps Guardsmen, the Death Corps Guardsmen, all that stuff. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's still technically Imperial Guard. In one of the Discord groups, there's one of the guy who goes by the name, basically Death Corps of Creed Peter. He knows who he is because I told him I was going to do this.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where, you know, hey, I'm just going to be the best Death Corps guy, and no one's going to do it because no one does it. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to rain on your parade. I'm going to do it. I don't know why.
Out of spite. The best motivation.
Maybe. Out of spite. Death Corps is kind of cool. The only issue with Death Corps, and I mean, it's the same way with him, is they don't have a lot of access to a lot of the good Imperial Guard units. No Manticores. No Wyverns. They have a lot of entrenched things like the Thud Gun,
right?
The Earthshaker carriage or the Medusa carriage. They have some, and then some of their tanks aren't as good. So you don't get access to a lot of the same tanks. You get the Death Riders are pretty cool because they have a 5+ feel no pain against strength 4 and less weapons, so bolters.
Yeah.
The Memento Mori for their relic is actually pretty good because it reduces any D3 damage, whether it's D3 or D6. The most damage you can do is 1. So you can go ahead and shoot him with the last cannon because most he can take is 1 damage. And he can maybe pass that off to his horse if he's on a horse, you know, or something, or an Ogryn bodyguard or something. They don't even get access to Bulgrin. Depending on your interpretation, they don't get access to Bulgrin. So there's a lot. But I'm playing more of a mechanized list. So I have, you know, tank commanders. I have two of the light carriers, which get a scout move if there's guys inside.
So just scout the fuck up the field and dominate the center.
Basically, that's what it's for. And then I can take chimeras, but their chimeras have to come with autocannons instead of multi lasers, which is whatever. They don't get access to sentinels, because you have to remember this is an army built for trench warfare, hence the shovel motif.
So, basically, World War One troopers.
Basically, yeah. So they have a lot of artillery, which I have a lot of. I have thud guns. I have Medusa, which are better Earthshakers. Because the Earthshaker is strength 8 minus 3, I think, D3 damage. But you roll 2 dice and take the highest for number of shots. But with the new blast rule, I just take the Medusa, and depending how many guys there are, I can either have 3 or 6 shots. And it's strength 10 instead of strength 8. And it's the same. It's the same that I can ignore line of sight. So, and it's 5 points cheaper than an Earthshaker, for some reason.
Not bad.
Because they both have blast. And then I take the mole mortars. I mean the thud guns, because I don't have a whirlwind. So the thud gun's the closest thing. The difference is between that and a whirlwind is the thud gun's strength 5. But doesn't have the reroll with 2 wounds, but I wound easier too. So.
I mean, it'll be fun. If not, I mean, Deathcore Kree army always looks cool on the table anyway. So.
Yeah, I have a bunch of the riders. So we'll see what happens. I'll probably go down and play. And plus, the only reason I'm doing it also is because I can't do a Renegades and Heretics army.
Right.
So I'll just do a different, the other.
The Loyalist Renegades.
The Loyalist Renegades and Heretics. And they're the only ones that have Rough Riders. You can't get the guard can't take Rough Riders anymore.
Yeah, so see, there you go.
At one point, I built a unit of guard Rough Riders that were using motorcycles. I think I sold them.
Too bad, that was
many
cool.
Moons ago.
Not riding turtles, huh?
No, not riding turtles.
This opportunity.
Maybe. But that's all the stuff I have going on, and right now for me anyway, it's just trying to focus on what's doing.
Focusing is the hard part, right? Like it's easy to start a bunch of new projects in lockdown, but like actually finishing them is challenging.
Yeah, the Conquest one I want to finish because I want to at least have the models to play, even and maybe not put on stream because they're not painted. And for me, painting doesn't seem like a big issue because I just use contrast to paint them.
God bless contrast.
For the other stuff, for me, once I get the rest of the Krieg stuff, I'll probably switch from Conquest to Krieg and just get those all put together also. And then once SoCal Open is official or not, that'll determine which way I go in terms of continuing with which project.
That's fair.
I'll paint like a fiend if I need to be at a tournament.
Oh, of course, everyone does. Or at least most people do.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's part of it is like, I think I would have more ambition to paint and get stuff built if Gameology was open. So I knew if by some miracle I got a chance to go there and play, you know, like. But until we have, you know, basically a fully functioning game store and lockdown's lifted, it's so hard to be motivated to do anything. This entire lockdown, I painted like 3 models. This shit's like.
Yeah, I haven't painted anything. I've just been putting stuff together.
I haven't even finished my Indominus box.
Speaking of which, so we mentioned we have the Necron army. That's, I think we're waiting until the book comes out.
Yeah.
To get that going, that way we have a better idea of what units to use.
Void Dragon.
Yeah, I know, right? But we also got a deal on some Space Marines that included a bunch of the new bikes, the Outrider bikes. So now we're building we're going to build a White Scars army that Tom is going to paint in the meantime. So Tom likes painting, and he can do that while I think he's still out on Daddy Bonding.
I think so. Well, no, I think he goes back next week or maybe
next week. Okay, well, either way, I'm going to give him the models tomorrow so he can get started on those. So hopefully we'll have a White Scar army and then a Necron army. I have my Chaos. Hopefully I'll have a Deathcore army ready to play. And then at some point I'll start building. I have the pieces. I just need to put them together for us with my sister's a battle army. And then John has his generic Space Marine army that he can play as whatever. And you have your Tyranids.
I have Tyranids. I have my World Eaters. I have some Chaos Knights.
Yeah. So I think we're pretty covered with all that stuff because I guess we'll talk about
it. I have Galaxians.
Yeah. Well, Danny, are you is there anything else? Is there anything else besides Tyranids?
For what? My armies?
Any of your armies? I don't know.
I mean, I built an Elysian. I mean, I built a military. You know, Elysians don't exist anymore. I built a military. Which is fun. It's a shit ton of planes. Actually, a decent amount of OPSEC bodies. Not a lot of stain power though. But that's what the transports are for, I guess. You know, I have a world, you know, I have like a kooky, like corn list that's like pure corn. It's actually before lockdown happened, I was going to play corn for this season, like pure, like corn. So see, you know, world eaters and chaos demons, you know, corn chaos demons. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be my hobby track army.
Oh, right.
Because like, it has all of my cool, like conversions for bloodthirsters out of like the Mortarion and Magnus and stuff like that. And, you know, my world eaters are really well painted thanks to Teddy. So like I was really planning on rocking that. But since that's not really happening, I mean, I still have a list with that. I don't think it's necessarily that good, but it's fun. So, but yeah, just, and I have plenty of Tyranids. I have more Tyranids coming, you know, whenever they get here.
They should be here by next week.
But you know, like we can always, I have a ton of Tyranids and, you know, 95% of it's painted. So it's pretty easy for me to throw a Tyranid list together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one
thing. Kira is asking if I'm brave, basically, with doing a Forge World army without having the Forge World book out yet. I'm like, eh, I guess. They're making the models, so I may as well use them.
Who cares?
I can just eventually use them just like as – if well, if I get to use them as regular Imperial Guard, I can actually take good stuff.
Yeah, see, there you go. I mean, plus, you know, you never know. You might they might come out with the book. You might luck into, like, the most broken army for a while. There you go.
Yeah, he's also asking what we think about Sisters of Battles in 9th.
They're good. They're absolutely a very, very strong army that I think is about player skill, right? I don't think it's an army that a mediocre player is suddenly going to get better because they're playing it. It's not Iron Hands, right?
Right.
I'd
be building it right now.
Yeah, right. You know, I think they're a very, very solid army. But you have to know what you're doing, right? You have to, you know, you really have to know how to construct your list and you have to know how to play the game and maximize the advantages they have, namely miracle dice and being able to just throw probability out the window and say, this is the outcome that we are going to use.
Yeah. The miracle dice are really what sets them apart and what really like has that, makes that army hit hard. Cause I've seen on different groups, I don't want to say complaints, but complaints about the miracle dice mechanic and how it's broke, quote unquote broken. But I mean, if you know how to use it, if you use it right, you're gonna dominate. But that takes practice.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing of like sisters. You can build them to be resilient, but I don't think they're that resilient at the end of the day. You know, they're T3. Yes, they got 3+ save, but when you're T3, a lot of things wound you.
Yeah.
So you're making a lot of saves. As their strength is again the miracle dice and being able to really come out of reserves and hit you, right? Pretty much, and not have to worry about like, okay, if I make this charge where it's like, I've got a 6 and a 3 saved. Mm-hmm. I'm my Repentia or my Seraphim, right? Or whatever are going to hit you, right? And so I think again, if you don't know how to screen out things, if you don't know to expect that, if you don't know how to accept certain casualties to mitigate the amount of damage you're taking, then you're just going to get annihilated. But if you play against them and you do know how to mitigate those things, then they might not be as strong as others.
Right.
Because, you know, Repentia, if you get to shoot them, are fucking paper. But if they get to hit you, it's a bad day.
Yeah.
Especially Bloody Rose Repentia.
Yeah, other bit of news real quick. We mentioned two stores. You've noticed we've only talked about one. And it was mentioned earlier, way early in the chat, regarding what one of the stores did. So originally the stores were going to play nice, and the two stores are and I'll name them because you can see one of them in the Twitch stream because it's one of the sponsors, was Odyssey Games, which is in the old location of Game Empire Pasadena. And Gameology Pasadena, which is in what we call Old Town Pasadena. Both of them had agreed to play nice and not really agitate one or the other. Some things happened where Odyssey essentially agitated Gameology, mainly by stealing their, not even stealing, what is it called when they park?
Copyright infringement.
Well, okay, if you read the Salty John page, you'll see what it was. Odyssey did, or what an employee of Odyssey did, was they took the domain Gameologypasadena.com and redirected it to the Odyssey, or created an Odyssey page for instead. So if you go there looking for Gameology Pasadena, you saw Odyssey Games, which normally is kind of that's funny, except for the fact that they use the name Gameology Pasadena, and Gameology is a copyrighted name, and you can't do that because you're infringing on the copyright. There's all kinds of other issues that I'm not really familiar with because I'm not a legal eagle, and I don't know if Danny would want to comment on that stuff. And that's in the
I'm not a lawyer, so I get to comment on things whatever I want because I don't have to worry about a bar ethics investigation. Because I can't be disbarred when you've never been there, bitch.
Well, in regards to what's going to happen, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that it's basically copyright infringement.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things of, on the basis level, it's just not ethical, right? Like, it's just not a kind thing to do. It's like, yes, there's two game stores. Pasadena's big. SoCal is big. LA Metro is big. Both stores can coexist peacefully. Like, there's no reason not to.
Right.
They could even probably end up boosting each other up by having good discussions about, like, what are you primarily going to sell? What games are you getting into? Let's try not to, overlap too much to, blah, blah, blah. So it was just unethical, right? Like, it's just a dick move to do for no other reason than to be petty, right? Than to think you're funny, but really it's just some petty bullshit. It's shit posting in real life. And again, in the internet, shit posting is, what it is, but like in the real world, like it's actually not okay to do. And then, really what it opened up to is, it gave Gameology a chance to fucking bury OG, because if they really want to be litigious, they have an excellent basis for that, right? And that's just the reality of, like, cool, you're just opening yourself up to get sued out of existence a month after you opened.
Well, the story continued after that. The Odyssey put out a statement, more or less apologizing but not apologizing, and they essentially said that the employee that did it was reprimanded. Which to me is nothing, means nothing.
Right.
I don't know.
And the owner's defense was that the employee responsible has an employment contract with him, and he didn't do anything that violates the employment contract to the point of termination. Which, again, if you know anything about law, is kind of weird to say, since especially most states are at will. So unless basically the owner got duped into signing a really restrictive contract. But even then, I'm pretty sure the contract doesn't cover, hey, I opened you up to litigation, but you can't fire me over that. Like, that seems like a pretty big, I think most contracts would have something covering that. Like, hey, if you expose me to litigation, I can fire you.
Well, the issue for me, and there's a few issues. The issue for me in the apology was that, one, they gave the reason as being that someone had taken out the domain name Game Empire Pasadena, which was the old website of the old store that used to be there, and it redirected to Gameology's website. The issue is that Gameology, that whoever owns a domain name is not an employee of Gameology. Someone did it on their own.
Right, which is, again, and whoever that person is, that's shit posting in real life too. Like, that's stupid, right? Like, but again, just continuing it and going for this tit for tat bullshit, it just speaks to, really the problem is, and I think this is where, at least for me, I'm not going to speak for Adam, John, or anybody else. At least for me, that kind of immature attitude of like, oh, well, they did this and now we're going to do this. Ha ha ha. Just doesn't make me feel like I'm going to enjoy being at that store, because what's going to happen if I happen to piss off one of these people, right? Like, what happens if we disagree? What kind of petty bullshit are they going to pull? Right. Right. It doesn't, again, this, like, people, a lot of, there were way more people than I thought, you know, basically apologizing on the behalf of OG or defending their behavior. And again, I'm just saying, when you know who people are based on their actions, right? Like, that's just what it comes down to. People can say they are whatever the fuck they are. It doesn't matter. People are who they, what they do and how they do it. And so for me, all that showed is that, great, this store is owned by, the store employs at least one incredibly petty person who's also displayed a severe lack of ethics. And the boss is someone who's not willing to actually do what is required to stop that behavior, because a reprimand's not going to stop that.
Yeah. And the thing for me was with that apology was the reprimand. And for me, like Danny said, it's more what you do as opposed to what you say. And if you are going to say certain things, at least follow up with the action, because the people at Odyssey, because they're at the old location, have been proclaiming this whole time how they're the spiritual successor to the store and to the owner who had passed away. And I think that's great. Great. You know, I was all on board. But when you do something like this and you don't take ownership of it and you just try to like, he got reprimanded. Okay, let's move on. And you don't take ownership of it, that almost flies in the face of what you're trying to proclaim, because I know that the store owner that passed away would not do something like this. And would not condone doing something like this.
He fired people for less.
Yes, he did. And the other thing is, in regards to some of the people that were okay with it, maybe they just didn't realize, or maybe they're right now people just miss the store at that location so much that they're willing to overlook something like this, not realizing what something like this can do to the store. Like Danny mentioned, that it just opens them up to being sued. And if that happens, what's going to happen to the store? Like Danny said, he may go out of business less than a few months after opening up. And where does that leave us? All because he allowed someone to be petty and refused to apologize, or refused to take the proper steps to apologize, in my opinion. I stated basically that I wasn't going to go there anymore. And I'm not going to go there as long as that person is, because I know who did it. As long as that person is employed there, I'm not going to go to that store. That being said, I am not advocating for other people to not go to the store, because I can't tell people what to do. I don't have that authority over people. So like in our club chat, we kind of talked about it, and I said over and over that people can go wherever they want. If they want to go to Odyssey, that's fine. If they want to go to Gameology, that's fine. If they want to go to Green Tower, which is another local store, that's fine. If they want to go to Paper Heroes, if they wanted to go to Ogre's Den, there's plenty of other stores in the LA area that you can go to. You don't have to go to these two stores. And I don't tell everybody, this is our club. Our club only goes to this store. We've never done that, and I would never do that.
No, I mean, it's, again, no one is advocating like, okay, you should never go here. We're just expressing from, you know, our position where we're going to go and why, right?
Yeah.
And you know, again, I always come back to the point of the owner admits something happens. Mm-hmm. The owner admits it's uncalled for. The owner even admit, like, which is really funny, even admits to the most litigious part of it, which is, you know, this was classified as advertising, which is where it's like, the moment he was like in an advertisement, I was like, ooh, shit, you really do want to get sued if you put it like that. Hope no one took screen caps of it.
I'm sure nobody did. Yeah.
You know,
it's only on John's page.
But you know, with all the, it's like, you know, you're saying all this, but you're not, again, there's no I mean, if you really cared about, like, you know what, that's not right, that's not fair, honestly, you would have fired the employee, and you wouldn't have made a statement until after you had talked to the owners of Gameology, right? And you had reached a consensus about how are we going to deal with this, right? How do we make this better? How do we peacefully coexist? And you would have released a joint statement together, because that would have showed that you've done, you did the right thing. You ate shit. You went to the, you know, if you went to the quote unquote competition and you said, look, one of my employees fucked up. I'm sorry. That was uncalled for. How can we make sure that we can amicably coexist together, right?
Well, part of the issue with that too, this isn't the first time something like this has happened. Now, the previous issues weren't this bad, like lawyer bad, but it's still annoying to have to deal with something like this, you know, again, so to speak.
Yeah, as John has said many times, Store Wars is like the most, is like the stupidest part of 2020 for all of us here, right? Like, it should be a good thing.
What are you talking about?
Like,
Star Wars is great.
It should be a good thing. We have two game stores opening in kind of our area of, you know, where we play and hang out and, you know, you guys mostly live. But it's just turned into like a fucking nightmare of just like high school bullshit, right? Like, it's just frustrating.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll stop and, hopefully we can start playing again. Jeez. But
I just want to fucking play.
I already made my opinion known on Odyssey's Facebook page that basically I'm not going there, and as a result, I'm not gonna have our GT there. We'll probably do it at Gameology, because truthfully, Gameology has a larger space.
And Gameology is also in a better place for a GT, or in really any tournament. I mean, this is the thing that I've, you know, kind of said before, but you know. I've amended after everything of like, I'm fine going to go, you know, I was fine going to OG for like, oh, it's, you know, Tuesday night. It's, or, you know, it's 40K night or whatever. Right. Yeah. Like, but if I go to an RTT, I want to go to Gameology because it's in the middle of Old Town Pasadena. Right. Like, I can go get 20 different meals.
Yes.
Right.
Different varieties, not all the same fast food.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I can go to a really nice restaurant. I could go get fast food. I could get everything in between.
Yeah, there's a couple, you know, like, bars, there's a cigar lounge.
Right, there's everything I need. And not to mention, like, for people who are traveling, if, like, you know, when we hold Hammer of Wrath, we do get people from San Diego, from Bakersfield, from, you know, places farther out. There's actual decent hotels near Old Town Pasadena where you would actually want to be in that area, as opposed to the Motel 6 by Game Empire.
Bedbugs.
You know, so, like, ROG. Yeah. So, you know, like, it's just... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully
it's just unfortunate.
I said this earlier in regards to something else that I was looking at online, and it's just like, people are just, why do we have to people be so dumb? Why do people have to ruin stuff?
This is why we can't have nice things.
That's why we can't. I mean, heaven forbid we have two stores.
I know, right?
We have, you know, we may just have one. It's better than zero.
No, one is definitely better than zero, but I don't know. It's just this, and this is, you know, I think true kind of everywhere, but, you know, 40K players are known to be clicky, right? Be very insular, and gamers in general, like, now we don't have to put this on just 40Kers, but, like, you know, gamers in general tend to be very insular and clicky, so you see that kind of behavior brought into, like, the real world, where it's like, this matters. These are people's jobs. These are people's livelihoods, right? Like, this is where people play, the hub of their communities, and you're coming in there and fucking with it. And, because you've got no social skills.
And that's the other thing. I mean, the employee that did it claims to be, you know, following this, you know, basically the spiritual whatever of the previous owner. You know, they profess to want to, like, help the community, and what they did was basically help divide the community. Now they've divided the community. They did the opposite of what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You can't say, like, you know, I really want to be a place for the past, you know, for the SoCal gaming community to come together and feel as one, and then be like, oh, fuck this other store, fuck those people.
Just seems very counterintuitive. Anyway, we're just venting at this point.
No, that's fun. That's funny.
It's frustrating. That's what it is. Especially because there's no stores we can go to, at least to play right now. You know, and
none of y'all fuckers will drive to my house.
And, dude, that's a you problem, man. You're the one. Okay, for those that don't know, Danny lives near Van Nuys, and Tom and John live in Pasadena. I live in Azusa, which is like the farthest you can get away from Danny. That being said, you know, the only time I would drive to Van Nuys, there's only two reasons I would drive to Van Nuys. One was the strip clubs.
The other there one, are a fair few here.
And there's a pretty good one in North Hollywood. I think it's still there. It's the one where I saw LeVar Burton and Tommy Davidson. Not at the same time. Two different occasions. And there's one where a television producer I used to know, the stripper told me that, oh, you know him too. I'm like, how do you know this guy? Oh, he took me to the Emmys with him one time. <It's> like, what? I don't feel like getting a lap dance from you anymore. I feel dirty.
The Emmys.
Yeah.
Was it the daytime Emmys?
Yeah, it was daytime Emmys. It was, because, yeah. The only other reason I would go out to Van Nuys was to see my wife, because she lived in Van Nuys. And not in your area either, so you can imagine what part of Van Nuys she lived.
My area is, well, is what area it is already.
Better, your area is better than where she was, that's for sure. So yeah, and you'll notice that both those times involves women. So, sorry, Danny. You got the
fair
wrong
enough. You got the man wrong of conviction. I respect a man of conviction.
But
even if we disagree.
That's why we need that store.
For real, right?
So hopefully we can start playing soon in general. And I know Gameology in Pasadena is getting their stuff together. They have their curbsides is available if you want. You just order from their website and you just put their – like I did it recently. I ordered from the website and put down my pickup location as Pasadena, mainly so they can see that we're going to Pasadena to shop, you know, instead of just going to Upland where the other place is.
Right.
So hopefully once they get going, because they have some grand plans, and once they get everything more up to date and have a better idea of what's actually going to be done, we'll have more announcements as what we can provide in terms of entertainment for you guys, especially in regards to the stream, or to do stream gaming of not just 40K, but other games too, if we wanted to do Blood Bowl.
Warcry. We still haven't got to talk about it. Every time we're like, we're going to talk about Warcry. It's like,
this was your chance. You didn't even talk about it.
Because you were talking. You were getting all animated about historicals.
You could say, what about Warcry? Especially during the AOS conversation.
Yeah, that's
fine. Well, Warcry is the same thing for me because I don't play like Kill Team. So I don't play Necromunda. I don't play the skirmish 40K games. I don't actually play any skirmish games, to be honest.
Well, Kill Team is very much just, you know, 8th edition 40K boiled down into a skirmish game, right, and expanded and given a little more crunch. Warcry is very different than AOS. It's a lot more simplified. And again, I really like it just because it's very easy to just be like, cool, let's play a game. We have the terrain. All you need to do is draw a couple cards, and you know what the board's going to look like, you know what the mission's going to look like, you know what the cool, weird thing's going to be, you know what your deployment is. And then, you know, you have your little team of models, and, you know, you get in there and you fuck things up. It's fun.
Sounds fun. I like a lot of the models.
The models are great. You know what it feels like? For me, it was a more fun Underworlds.
Okay.
Right, because like, you know, Warhammer Underworlds is like not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. It's actually got a pretty tight rule set. It's dynamic and fun, but like the Warcry is just expanded, a little bit goofier, a little more, a little looser, less competitive, a little more randomized version, and it's more fun for me.
Right.
You know, but and anyway, it's already getting late. It's already 10:15.
So. Okay, two quick questions from our listeners. One is,
are they Swedish?
No.
Well, they're the ones who matter the most.
Not the way their infection rate looks. One is Ray from Marietta asking if we could talk about big boobs or fat asses. I prefer both.
I've said exactly. I was going to say, ¿por qué no los dos? Like, yeah. why, again, Allah in his infinite variety made infinite variety on this earth, so that you should enjoy.
That is true. Yes. I mean, I do have preferences, but I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
And then Richard from Riverside is asking front butt or back butt. I'm not going to explain what a front butt is. You're just going to have to look it up. And I warn you about looking it up. Don't look up images, by the way. But I obviously prefer back.
Again, it's like choosing between oxygen and sleep. You know, like you need both. You need both.
You got to draw a line somewhere, Danny. But I think we're going to call it there. Danny has to go to sleep because his kid's going to wake him up in a couple hours.
Yeah. So we really will. I wish we were joking about that, but we're not.
How's your
I'm
new
dying
one?
Inside.
Is your new one?
Yeah.
Dying inside. Is the new one sleeping or is she?
Actually, yeah, she's a really good sleeper for the most part. I mean, for, you know, an infant, right? Oh, like, yeah. You know, but she's, although she just got her second round of vaccinations today, so she's pretty fucking miserable.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the older one who just doesn't want to ever fucking sleep or stay asleep.
Yeah. Well, she probably cried herself to sleep after the vaccinations, which you still do when you get older, so. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for listening when it's just us two, and we actually talked for a long time.
Yeah. I know, it was supposed to be like, yeah, we'll probably be doing this for like 40 minutes and
I get
bored.
I figured it was only going to be like an hour at most. But then I got to start talking about historicals.
Yes, he actually got Adam to talk.
And Conquest. Well, that's because John's not here hogging the whole time. There, I said it.
He has to feed. He has to feed his, feed his brand.
I know. God. That's what his Facebook page
says. Hashtag Salty John.
Danny. Any last comments or quips before we call it a night?
Just play games, people. Like, play games. And just honestly, like, I don't know. Right now, maybe I'm just tired. But, like, the remember, shitposting is not something you're supposed to do in real life. Just keep that in mind.
Stick to keyboard warriors. Worry.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that being said, again, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Everybody, we'll see you in a couple weeks. So good night, everybody, and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Vaya con Dios.
Este amor apasionado anda todo alborotado por volver. Voy camino a la locura y aunque todo me tortura, sé querer. Nos dejamos hace tiempo, pero me llegó el momento de perder. Mucha razón, le hago caso al corazón.